Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome, and thank you for joining us once again. Hey, if you want to learn more about Perry Holly or our executive...
Wait a minute, it's about me.
Yeah, listen, I'm completely taking over this podcast today, and we're going to go rogue, forget what he's wants to talk about. But if you want to learn more about just the impact that we're able to have through coaching or facilitating through some of the content pieces, don't hesitate to visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast, and we'd love to follow back up with you and serve you in any way. One of the things that we love doing is creating content that resonates with organizations around the world and where they're at. And oftentimes, I know Perry, the same way through coaching calls or front of the room, same with myself and some of our team, it's like, man, you'll never believe what we're struggling with inside our organization or what I'm struggling with as a leader. And we're like, yeah, no, really, tell us. Mm-hmm. And we have a privilege. It's like a melting pot for us. It's like everybody just kind of shares that with us. And what we're finding is that there's some common themes and common problems that we're all dealing with as leaders and organizations around our culture. And what I'm really excited about today is we're going to talk about one of those that comes up in the top three year after year, which is communication. Yeah. And we're going to today's topic is how courageous is your communication? If you did not listen to our episode, our podcast previously last week, I want to encourage you to go do that, because this one is actually built off of that one, which was courageous culture. There's four dimensions of a culture. And we're going to talk a little bit about today about what communication looks like. And the statement that I want to make that I think is really important here is that, and Perry put this in, you don't have a communication problem. You have a culture problem. Mm-hmm. But everybody thinks they have a communication problem. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about this today and give you some nuggets that Perry and I absolutely learned as we went through this content piece that we created. Again, we created this for a partner of ours that was struggling and said, man, we need to spend some time with our leaders on becoming better communicators. And it led to this culture thing. And so it is essential for us to figure out communication, essential. And so we're going to give you some practical tips and tools today of what we learned.
Well, I think it's funny that so much we are always teaching, but this time we were the students.
We were.
And we have sat through all of these, and that's why I came up with these this month-long journey of what did we learn, because you and I were sitting there taking notes and applying this to our team, and it was really quite valuable. But just before we go, you mentioned last week in the four dimensions of culture. I will remind everyone listening that if you want the a picture of this, the learner guide for this week and last week has a picture of the four dimensions of culture. And they are, from the bottom, the only negative component is a complacent culture driven by past success. One up from that would be a compliant culture driven by process, procedures, rules, being compliant. But it's a positive. We have to have that. Next up would be a committed culture, where it's really driven by production and results and a commitment of the team to each other and to the goals that we have. And then finally, at the top, the courageous culture, really driven by purpose and a much bigger picture and looking out for each other. I think one of the big takeaways for me, just like last week we talked, as you mentioned, it was kind of built originally for a safety culture, but they said you don't have a safety problem, you have a culture problem.
Yeah.
And so that was a big aha for me, is that culture drives almost everything that we do. And that this week, as you already said, about communication is not the problem, it's the culture that's driving that communication. And you know, I guess does everything rise and fall on the culture that you've designed? What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Now, here's the word though that I want to pull out of the question you just asked. You said designed.
Oh yeah.
Right. And so I think that's the key to your question, because maybe it's not the key to the question, because everything does rise or fall in the culture, regardless one way or another.
Right.
I think it has positive effects if it's designed, if it's intentional, something we talk about a lot here in regards to it, because it's going to happen one way or another, right? We say that. And so absolutely, I think everything rises and falls, by the way, we say on influence, but I absolutely think we can relate this to culture. So absolutely. When I think about communication, oftentimes we think it's maybe just for me to Perry or maybe me to my team, and we think it's we're just in this little vacuum of how we communicate, and that is wrong, right? We got to remember that all communication happens within larger context, and that is your culture, and we need to start there. And we defined culture last week in this these three simple terms that Greg kind of introduced to us through these content pieces, which was how do we think, how do we act, and then how do we interact inside our organization. So how we communicate at work or at home in the community happens with the context of those three simple things. And we need to set that as the basis of our communication. So what are our acceptable thoughts, our actions, and interactions in our culture? And then how does that drive the communication? And how are you going about thinking about how you're going to communicate before you communicate on those three areas? I think that I think that's key to be able to understand.
Right, right. I think if you take it a step further, that your culture depends on the relationships, and those relationships depend on how we communicate. Communication is really the key to almost everything, that how people perceive and receive each other, how they see you as the leader, how they see their peers, how they see those that work for them or on the team. So a question you have to ask when we're thinking about that is, how do I want the other person to think? How do I want the other person to act?
Yes.
How do I want them to interact? When I see those three words and about my communication, am I driving the way people think, act, and interact through the way I communicate? I guess I'm learning that if you do this intentionally in your communication, you can really shape how people think, act, and interact in your culture. And it's a thoughtful, intentional way of communicating that keeps these things in mind.
Those three simple questions about anything that you are going to communicate, text, email, video conference, even if you're speaking to the entire organization, that will change the way and what, the way and the what of how you're communicating as a leader. And I think that's just that right there, if you don't take anything away from our time today, that right there will help you communicate as a leader. Another insight that I picked up from our learning, to your point, we did sit in several different lessons. We're like, are we actually going to ever do some work? Like we've been, but man, did we learn some stuff. But one of the things I picked up was this image of what we call the cone of clarity.
And I did put that in the learner guide.
Thank you.
So if you want to see that, you can.
You can tell that I didn't look at the learner guide before we started, sat down, started talking.
I didn't provide it to anybody.
But that's awesome. Yeah. Please go download that because you'll be able to see this, and it makes a whole lot of sense. So whether it's one to many, you're communicating to many, or whether it's even just one-on-one communication, you can have written communication, you can have audio communication, video communication, face-to-face. And I want to give you a couple examples as you think through all these different types of communication where the clarity could be an issue, okay? Because I think this is a great example of what we need to be thinking about in addition to answering those three questions before we communicate. So here's a couple of things for you to think about. The potential for the least amount of clarity is if it is written communication in a one-to-many. Mm-hmm. We've all had that before. We got those documents in our inbox, maybe in the mail, right? So the least amount of clarity happens that way. The potential for the most amount of clarity would be if we were face-to-face in a one-on-one situation. Perry and I sitting here recording these podcasts today. I know we'll have the least problem with clarity because we're here face-to-face. And so you really need to be thinking about and considering what is required of you as a leader and as a communicator in each one of these situations. So if you need to communicate one-to-many and can't use video, what can you do to maximize and connect and be effective in your communication? You need to be thinking about things like this versus just saying, what is it that I want to say?
All right. And I think over the last year and a half, we have all a year of being remote.
Yeah.
Even if you have audio, video communication happening, are you really being effective? So it just because we've gotten better at it doesn't mean we're actually being effective at it. Things like observing nonverbals. Can you read the room? And when you're using a web meeting, I think a lot is lost on. We do a lot of our training now virtually, and I'm trying to read these 30 faces on my screen to am I connecting? Am I being clear? Is my message out there? We often talk about the intention perception gap, or sometimes called the intention interpretation gap, the IP gap, intention perception, where what I may have intended one way is interpreted or perceived by someone else in another way. I think that's probably the largest communication challenge I think most of us have. You know, what can we do to shrink that gap when communicating? I think this is present to some degree in every communication, but how do people close this gap if you know it's going to be there? What I intended one way, you perceived another.
We're giving you some practical tools that will allow you to take responsibility for understanding and being understood. And I think if you take it with the lens of what we're sharing with you today, I think you'll take a big step in being able to do that. I think also as communicators, you have to pay attention to the body language of those that you're communicating with. Is there confusion or concern, maybe discomfort, or did they get it? This week, I had the opportunity, I had dinner with John. He was in town, and we were talking about some different things. He was actually carved out an entire day for writing, and he's writing, rewriting the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And so I, you know, gave him a hard time. I said, well, then they obviously weren't irrefutable. We had a good little laugh about that. And he's the first one to admit that. But he's rewriting it with some fresh new content that's going to be coming out soon. And so we were sitting there, and we were talking about how he develops and speaks on content and what resonates and what doesn't. And he says, man, one of the things he loves to do is just to think on thoughts. He said, people don't think enough on thoughts and make them better and then throw them out and what kind of response. And so he actually shared with me and the team that was there how he actually came up with the 21 Laws of Leadership. He said, I would think on it. It took me a while, a couple of years. He said, but I would develop one. And then he said, I would communicate it to a business leader at a lunch. And I'd be like, what do you think about that? And he said, I would just take notes on how they received it, how they reacted, did it resonate? And I was like, oh, that's brilliant, right? Because if you can figure that out. And then he said, then I would speak on it, and I would just watch the crowd. And when I could read the room, and you know this, you're an incredible keynote speaker around the world. You can tell when somebody gets it.
Works, it doesn't work.
And he's like, I got it. And then he would take that and then develop it into a book. And I think that's our responsibility as a leader.
Yep. Well, let's take a couple of minutes as we think about wrapping up here. But I want to just hit those four dimensions of culture and see, you know, how does communication show up at each of these. So I'll throw one out to you and you give me some feedback on it. But the only negative dimension of that we mentioned of this four dimensions of culture was complacent dimension, driven by resting on success and maintaining the status quo. What does communication look like in a complacent culture?
What I love about this and what we're sharing with you guys, one of the things that Perry and I learned is a great takeaway, very practical, was thinking about, okay, each one of these dimensions, you're going to communicate a little bit differently. And then each one of these dimensions, that whole think, act, and interact based off my communication is going to be a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And so it gave us scenarios, and we actually worked through it, and it was awesome. And so in this complacent dimension, I think, you know, some of the things to take away were it's low level, or I don't want to say lack of communication, because then that wouldn't be communication, but they're very minimal, not a lot of questions. You know, we already know it all, and we've arrived. We've all have been in those situations, and there's no innovation. There's no need for change. It is what it is. Very complacent. Now the compliant dimension, which, you know, this being compliant, think about driven by processes and procedures and rules. Really, we're committed to avoiding mistakes, and there's a need for that, right? So we're not calling this a negative dimension. There's a need for that. We went through that exercise in communication, what did that look like?
Yeah, I see people are really striving for perfection at the expense of excellence. I'll even slow things down because I'm trying to get it all right. I want to make sure I dot the I's and cross the T's. Reminding each other of the rules and how we do things around here. And by the way, we don't do that around here. It kind of can kill innovation a bit. We interact as an authority, not as a colleague or a partner. Like, I'm the keeper of the rules and you're breaking one. We don't challenge or question. That's what I miss the most, I think, at this level. If people are in this a compliant mindset or a compliant culture, is they just follow the process. This is how we do it. We don't think, is there a better way to be that change agent that we need? And there's not a lot of creativity because it might be outside the current process or rules that are there.
Yep.
You know, the third dimension is called committed dimension, and this is usually driven by the need to produce results, achieve our shared goals. It's a great level of culture. What do you think communication would look like if you're at a committed culture?
Yeah, I think this is where the team, we're in agreement with our priorities, our vision, maybe even the timeline. We may not all feel comfortable with the same timeline. Right. But we're in alignment, or we're in agreement with that. I think this is also something where we talk a lot about in our leadership team, which is Mark, our CEO, is like, hey, let's challenge this. Like push back on this. Let's have a conversation. And then once we get through that, how do we help each other remove any obstacles or barriers that we have in order to accomplish, you know, X, Y, and Z, or accomplish this type of communication, so that we can communicate from a committed kind of standpoint. So, well, the fourth and final dimension that we've talked about previously, and I encourage you to go back and listen to it if you didn't, was the courageous dimension of a culture. And this is really kind of driven by purpose and to do meaningful work. Talk a little bit about some of the how communication would look like at this dimension.
I think you start to see things like casting vision for the future. I mentioned that in the previous dimensions, you don't see change agent thinking. We're kind of okay where we are here. You really find the change agent coming out, looking for ways to improve. People are comfortable thinking outside the box and communicating that way. Focus a lot on why we do what we do, not so much how and what, but why. That bigger purpose thing. This is a big one to me, is about how is conflict handled. That I think at a courageous culture level, your people will navigate conflict and not really avoid it. In a
Love
committed
that.
Or maybe
Love
even
that.
In a compliant, we'll just avoid it, turn and go the other way. And we welcome, welcome respectful debate. It's okay to dissent. You mentioned that earlier. Is it safe to push back? Is it safe to give another opinion or point of view? And I think that courageous communication really begins to look like we're all thinking like owners, and we're all trying to move ahead on the bigger purpose together.
Yeah. Well, let me wrap up with this. I want to go back to what we started this episode with, which was, you don't have a communication problem. We have a culture problem. You don't necessarily have a safety problem. You have a culture problem. You don't have a leadership development problem. You don't have a what we call kind of a succession planning problem. You have a culture problem. It all comes back to this culture thing that Perry and I are kind of just sold out for helping you as leaders and organizations get better. Is we want to help you enhance the leadership culture. And communication, I said top three earlier, it might be the number one, right? I mean, I know people right now are dealing with the great, you know, resignation, and we're talking about turnover and retention, all that, but communication just, I think, could be the number one. And so our culture doesn't happen accidentally, and we need to make sure that we are very intentional about what does this look like. We gave you the four dimensions we talked about last time, gave you some thoughts about how do you think about communicating, how do you act, how do you interact in the communication pieces. And I would tell you this, communication happens on a daily basis with your team. And so we've got to think about it a little bit differently. People often think about, when it comes to communication, what do I sound like? Mm-hmm. What do I look like? Like, it's all about the individual. I'll never forget, John said to me one time, I said, he shared a story about communicating, doing a keynote, and this young leader was getting ready to go on, and John was clean up that day. And this young leader said, John, what do you think about, like, right before you go on stage, what, like, how do you get rid of all the nerves? And he's like, well, first of all, I've done it for a long time. And second of all, it's like, what do they need to hear from me today, instead of what is it that I need to share with them today? And so then how do you go about communicating it based off of these four dimensions of culture? So, man, there's lots of meat here today. So grateful for the organizations that we've partnered with that helped us get to this content piece, and Greg driving some of this content.
Yeah, it's been a great learning experience for both of us. Thanks, Chris. And as a reminder, if you want to learn more about these content pieces that we're talking about, or see the other podcasts, I want to leave a message, a question for us. We love hearing from you. You can also get the learner guide, which has some of the graphics from this one today and last week. You can do all that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. We love hearing from you. Leave a question or a comment. We would love to get back to you on that. And we're always grateful that you would spend this time with us each week. That's all today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.